recap a little bit where we left off last week. So we began with the Gemara Kedushin Daf in Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara taught us that an apotropos can't be mafresh truma, which is not a great surprise. The problem is, well, the stuff, obviously, it can be Torah, Mishayin, Shalai. Nevertheless, the Gemara qualifies that in Masechet Gittin by telling us that sometimes an apotropos, sometimes the guardian to the assumption, can be mafresh truma in Masechet, if there's a real need, if the kids have to eat. So then he's what's called mafresh lechol. Not allowed to be mafresh laniach, but he's allowed to be mafresh lechol. So we'll be shown involved with the question, how can that work? If minat Torah, we have a din of Torah, Mishayin, Shalom, Levitis, Apotropos. So how in the world does that work? It's some hocus pocus, we let him be mafresh if there's some great tzara. So we saw a few different approaches in the Mishnah this week. So we saw that the Ramban quotes one opinion that says that you're right, the question is better than the answer, that minat Torah really doesn't work. The whole thing is all midrabban, and how could the Chachamim institute something against the din of Torah? So they can invoke the principle of Hefker Beis and Hefker. And Hefker Beis and Hefker transfers ownership on the two, on the payrus to the apotropos, and now the apotropos being Torah, his own stuff. So Chazal only wanted to invoke that Hefker Beis and Hefker, they felt it necessary. So if it's for the purpose of feeding the Yisrael, that's important. If it's just laniach, just to leave over for 6 months from now, we'll deal with it in 6 months from now, the kids get older. So that's one approach. According to that, there's really no din d'oraisa. There is no mechanism in HaTorah for this really to work. You have to go through the roundabout way called Hefker Beis and Hefker. But then the Ramban offered another approach. Ramban said that maybe it's based on Zoch Ben Rishol B'Fanav. Maybe it works on a real din, on a level of d'oraisa, based on Zoch Ben Rishol B'Fanav. So that opened up a whole world for us. Zoch Ben Rishol B'Fanav, is that really true? Does it really work? Zoch Ben Me'adam, Li'adam, Zedar, the Rash, the Tyson. We spent a lot of time talking about that last week. That was the second approach to how Prussia works to an apotropos. Then we had a third approach, that was the Rashba. The Rashba said, it's not based on Zochin, which is not a great surprise, because the Rashba was the last person we would expect to work through Zochin. Rather, the Rashba says, it's based on Yad Apotropos Ged Bailim. Sanudim, Sanchudisha Torah, that the apotropos is mavish like the Bailim. And that's part of the Xer Sekosa, V'nasi Yecha, Nasi Yecha Lamata, that that the Torah describes in Parshas Maaseh, and when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so the Moshe Rabbeinu was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to appoint different Nesiim, and the jobs of the Nesiim was to divide up the property appropriately, even though some of the people there represented were Ketanim, obviously, out of 600,000 plus people, there are a few Ketanim, few Yisraelim there, and still the Apotropos and the Nesiim had full reign. So you see that Apotropos appointed Torah say Yisraelim is a new din. It breaks the regular rules of Zochin, breaks the regular rules of Torah, Mishnah, and Shalai. It's a new aloha. So those are the three basic approaches we had in the Rishonim. Either it's the whole thing is Bitter Rabbanan and Hefker Beis and Hefker, or it's based on the regular din of Zochin and Shalom Fanav, or it's based on the new faggle din called Yad Apotropos Kadabailam Dami. So of course, each one of these approaches has its own difficulties to it. You know, the first one is almost like a default answer. We can't come up with any real mechanism in the Torah, so we just pin it on with the Rabbanan Hefker Beis and Hefker. The second approach of the Ramban is fraught with a lot of complications because it's assuming certain things about Zochin that some of the Rishonim didn't assume. The Rash was really a tremendous Rash because the source of apotropos is really a divinity of Omanus. It's really the fact that the apotropos has the right to sell property, to divide property. That's a big jump to say, and therefore he's Yad Apotropos Ki Yad Abaylam and this and that. Also, you know, we were always very, very weary when we try to derive halachas from Mamnus Tisur. The Gemara uses the phrase, Tisur Mamon Leofina, Mamon Tisur Leofina. So it's really a big jump that the Rash was making. Yad Apotropos on a level of their rights changes the world of your day. It's difficult to change the world of Cheshinish, but also tremendous Cheshinish. Each one of the Pshat and the Rishayim has its own difficulties to overcome. Becomes the Ketzois Me'atzmo, and he suggests a new approach. A fourth approach to what the secret of apotropos is, what the mechanism of apotropos, particularly to be mafresh trumas and ma'aseh at a level of d'oraisa. And says the Ketzois, he's convinced that this pshat is almost the most simplest, straightforward pshat. But in order to understand, appreciate what the Ketzois is coming from, we need a little bit of a background. And we need a little bit of a background to understand just what hafreshes trumas and ma'aseh really is, and particularly in its relationship to dinim amunos. What exactly is taking place in a monetary sense when Trumas and Ma'aseh are being separated? So the background is a sugya in Maseches Sukkah. We'll try to fill you in on some of the background. This is the Marmok of the Taish in Maseches Sukkah. It's a sugya in Maseches Sukkah, the Flamin Hamid Aleph. I put the Gemara also on it, just the Taish. Hold
on.
Okay, so we can take a look at the Gemara itself. So it's the bottom of Flamin Hamid Aleph in Maseches Sukkah. So it's a gufa. It's about 12 lines up at the bottom, so I'll give it a take. The first one is Yedei Chavasa. There are actually two lines of Yedei Chavasa. It's the second of the two lines. Gufa. We learned above. I'm Rabbi Asi. Esrog Shomai Sesheni. Ledivir Rabbi Meir Ein Adem Yetzir Bei Dei Chavasa Biyontif. If a person has an Esrog of Maisa Sheni, it's the second Maisa. It's supposed to be in the Bailam in Yerushalayim. So according to the view of Rabbi Meir, you cannot be Yetzir with that Esrog. Why is that? Because Rabbi Meir happens to hold the Maisa Sheni.
What?
Mom and Bailam. Bailam, Mom and Gavoa. So Rabbi Meir happens to hold that Maisa Sheni is Mom and Gavoa. It doesn't really belong to you. The Torah gives you the right to eat it for Kedusha, Vital, and Shalayim, but in terms of the Mom, it's not really yours. That's what Rabbi Meir in the Sefer Berakhot Kedusha says. If you try to be Makadosh Isha with Maisa Sheni, she's not Makadoshes, because that's tantamount to eating something that you don't own. So Rabbi Meir, she says Maisa Sheni, even in Shalayim, doesn't belong to you. So therefore, it's not a great surprise that Rabbi Yasi tells us that according to Rabbi Meir, you can't be yotzi with an esrog of Maisa Sheni, because it's not lachem, it's not yours. L'dibre chachom, according to the chachomim, adam yotzi dechavasa biyamtif, but according to the chachomim, it would be okay, because it is lachem. The chachomim say, it does belong to you, proof positive it belongs to you, the fact that you're allowed to eat it. If it didn't belong to you, how can the Torah let you eat it? So the right, it does belong to you. So machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan, how to analyze Maisa Sheni? It's a funny mix, Maisa Sheni. On the one hand, you have a right to eat it. Nobody can take it away from you. On the other hand, you have to eat it in a very, very limited way. You can do Shatara in your Shalayim, you can't take that in the Shalayim. So the question is, does that mean it's basically yours with a couple of restrictions? Or it's basically not yours, just with kind of a heter, achiva, so to speak? So that was the Nekudas of Machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. And the Gemara says, the Chaps and Afkimina, in Hulchas Vulov, can you use an Esrog of Maisa Sheni? Then the Gemara goes on. Matzah Shal Maisa Sheni. The Divrei Rabbi Meir, Ein Adam Yetzer Bei Dechavasa BePesach, Matzah of Maisa Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, one also can't be Yetzer the Mitzvah Matzah with. Why is that? Presumably because you have to own it. That's the premise of the Gemara. You have to own it. The Divrei Chacham, Adam Yetzer Dechavasa, but the same Pizmin. And the third, Nafki Min Isa Shal Maisa Sheni, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, Tur Min Achala, the Divrei Chacham Chiyavis Bechala. If you have a dough that was made of grain, made of wheat for Maisa Sheni, so according to Rabbi Meir, you don't have to be Mafish Chala from it. So only because in order to be mafish chal, it has to be yours. Arisei seichem, that's to belong to you. According to Rameh, Maaseh Sheni Mamin Gavoya doesn't belong to you. According to Chachamim, Maaseh Sheni Mamin Hedyot, it does belong to you. Therefore, you chayv. So the Gemara gave three cases, which are all three really just there's three examples of the same underlying principle. The basic question, does Maaseh Sheni belong to you in Mamin? And the man says no, the Rameh says yes, that's given to Esrog, Maaseh, and Chal. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, that's so simple. Maaseh for a Bishlama Isa Ksiv Rashis Arisa Sechem. I understand the third case of Chala, why Rabbi Meir exempts you from an Isa Shemaisa Sheni, because it's not Arisa Sechem. And the Torah says it has to be yours, be your Isa. Esrog Nam Ksiv Lachem. When it comes to Esrog, it has to be Lachem, Misha Lachem. Ela Matza Miksiv Matzaschem. Does it say Matzaschem? Eftach Matzas Ksiv. Does it say Eftach Matzaschem? We state that you have to own Matzah. So why does Rabbi Meir say you can't be yaitzeh with matzah shemai sesheni? On the Rabbi Shmuel, the Tehra of Leir Shlamia, as ya lechem lechem, ksiv hocha lechem anik, ksiv asa vay bal chachem lechem haaretz. We don't need any further. Rabbi says, no, it does say matzaschem. Not really. It says lechem. It says lechem bechala, and kach nem alach lechem is a very sharp to compare the two. Just as there's a din of lechem in order to be chayv in chala, there's a din of lechem to be yaitzeh matzah. That's what the Gemara says. So if you just walk away from this sugya, you come to the following conclusion. In order to fulfill the mitzvah derayis of matzah, the matzah has to belong to you. There is a din of lachem. It's a little bit roundabout, and it's funny because the only place in Shas where the Gemara actually insists on matzah belonging to you is this court, this wild case of Maaseh Sheni Limud Rabbi Meir. But as I state, lechem lechem siv, if ki'ilu it says in the Torah, matzah. So ad kan debir Gemara. So Tosfos has a problem with this. The bottom toast, lemon ham and olive. Toast says, Tema. The bottom toast says, Tema. Prepare kol shah. The ein yotze nidei matzah with tevel. The Gemara says explicitly in Pesachim that you can't be yotze matzah with tevel. Tevel being produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael that trumas and maizim are not taken over properly. The Gemara says pe'amoli you can't be yotze with tevel. Why? Listen to the reason the Gemara says. V'dichsev lo yisoych alav chomet shivis yomim teichel av matzis yotze misha esuru alem mishum al teichel tevel. At roundabout circumvent Russia. You can only be yaitse matzah with something which is itself only asr, or potentially only asr mishum chavetz. Tevel is asr for other reasons. Tevel is asr because of tevel, not because of chavetz. So that kind of a dough, that low nemar alav, is a chavetz because it has other isurim on it, that's not kosher for matzah. So mamash and drashim, we're not in the Pesachim right now, around about circumvent, a whole chad gadget to explain to you why you can't be yaitse matzah with matzah shel tevel. Frektai zekasha. Tapu clay, frectoises, I have a much easier, much smoother reason. Mishum deva'in in matzah, mishalochem. You know why you can't be yetzer with tevel? Because it doesn't belong to you. How in the world did Taisus know that tevel doesn't belong to you? Because the Gemara says that you can't be yetzer with an esrog shel tevel. V'tevel lo choshir lochem. K'demuchachach, Taisus brings you a whole riot. Leave out the details right now. But Taisus brings you a whole riot that you can't be yetzer esrog with tevel. So if you can't be yotzi esrog with tevel, obviously the reason is because it's not called lachem. If it's not called lachem for esrog, then it's not called lachem for matzah. So that's a much simpler reason why you can't be yotzi with matzah or tevel. Why the roundabout necessity for a drasha? That's Tosfos Kash. What do you think is the answer to this Kash? Tosfos just had a couple of premises and built the kash off a few premises. Premise number one is that the din of lachem by matzah, but that they took right out of this gemara. Premise number two is that tevel is not called lachem. They took this also right out of this gemara. In Cain, if those two premises are right, so we have a simple, straightforward reason why you can't be yotzei matzah tevel. Why the necessity for the kash? So comes Tosfos with the following words, and Tosfos challenges us to think. I'm surprised nobody jumped on me yet. Why is tevel not called land? It's my land. I planted the crops. It's my food. I have a mitzvah of precious, trumas and ma'aseres. Why is it not mine? Because I can't eat it. The chaz is not mine. Tevel happens not even to be osur b'hanah. So why is it not mine? Tosfos says, like a double poshut anoy. If you can't be yotzei tevel with an esrog shel tevel, it must be because it's not yours. What makes tevel not yours? So listen to Tosfos' formulation. It's in the last line of Tosfos, Yeshlem. The lo domi, matz and esrog are not the same. The hade in yochel atzeis be esrog shel tevel, davi kibo esrog de shutfin. That's the key word. Who's the shutuf? Who's the other shutuf? Sheish the koyin u levi boi chelek. It's an esrog shel shutfin. The halach is that the esrog has to be yours. So I'm looking at this esrog, and 10% of this esrog belongs to the levi, and 2% belongs to the koyin. And then out of the 10%, noch and then another 10% belongs by the tzedekah. So I only own the 87.5% of the esrog. So the esrog has to be lochem. That means the entire esrog from top to bottom, every molecule of this esrog has to be lochem. Because an esrog that's missing any part is not good. Esrog chos is no good. So I have to own the entire esrog. So by definition, an esrog shel tevel is the lach of the esrog has shutfin. And esrog shutfin is no good. So why did that svar not carry over to matzah? So Tosfos continues on the top of Lamed Hei Beis. You can skip to the end of the first line at the top of Lamed Hei Beis. I think I put it on also. Af agabi matzah, kishe ocho bimena kama zesim, im yesh bishalo kizayis yotza. You hear what Tosfos said? If you would only eat exactly to the molecule of kizayis and matzah shel tevel, your taka wouldn't be yotzei. You wouldn't be yotzei, you wouldn't need a zeh sekasim, you wouldn't be yotzei, because it's not matzaschem. Because part of that kezayis didn't belong to you. You only ate 3/4 of the kezayis of your matzah.
But if you eat 10 kazesim, like most of us end up doing that time the Seder's over, eat a lot of matzah, so they gloy milsa that you ate more than a kazayas that belonged to you, because tevel is not objectively not yours, tevel is not totally, completely not yours, only the small percentage of tevel is not yours, the part that indeed the mother's belongs to the kind of the lady, so you can overcome that obstacle by eating a little bit more than a kazayas. Why do I need the exercise of the soichel? It's a good kasha. Last week in Yeshiva we spent a week on that time, on that kasha. The white door. Okay? What day is the share? Okay, just the answer to this kasha. But basically, for our purposes now, I'm going to push you off and just forget. We have to fix the condition. That's why just because we haven't opened up the market condition yet. So if I say, what it takes just now to evolve the kitar, to evolve a new hamitar, a new insight, we never would have thought of this. When we look at Tevel through the eyes of Mamanas, the model for Tevel is Mamanas Shutfiz. That is what Tevel is. I'm a Shutfiz for the Koyd, a Shutfiz for the lady, etc. Is that true? Not so posh at all. It's a big Kiddush Tesis. Not so posh at all. The Rishon will disagree with this Tesis outright. There are different solutions to Tesis dilemmas. Other Rishon say, Mamun ha kohen. The kohen's a nobody. It's my mamun. I have a mitzvah safrasha, and if and when I get around to the mafik that truma, give the kohen, that truma becomes the kohen. But right now, Hashem is showing the state of Tevel, that's not kind of near me to mamun is.
He has a schus in it, though.
He has a schus. He doesn't really have a schus. I have a nisa to eat it. I can't eat it until the mafik shum is in my eyes. So maybe if I'm smart, I can be mafik. But so he'll take me to a dinner. What's going to happen? I'll tell him the job in the morning. Doesn't have a leg to stand on.
So there's no specific.
It's a moment shalom toivin. You're right. It's a moment shalom toivin. If I can't, even if I'm mafish a tshuva, and the kohen comes and asks for it, I can tell him I'm giving to another kohen. So kavachomer wasn't even mafish. So toivin is a very, very unique way of understanding, of looking, of viewing what devil is. It's moment hashutfin, and therefore nuchas esrog. It's a problem. Nuchas matzah. So we can overcome the problem eating a few extra ounces of matzah. Comes the Ketzos and discovered this Tosis and says, Ketzos, this is the secret to our sugya. Why is this? How is this the missing link in our sugya? We had a big problem because we really believe that an apotropos is correct and not for shumsamaisis is a dindir answer. That's, at a heart of hearts, we think that's right. We did not so comfortable with the Ramban's understanding of Zohar because the after Shana would never say Zohar in those cases. You can't use Zohar to take away from somebody that was the Rashba listening. The Rashi said, "Din Yalapetropus Katavayim." He said, "Yalapetropus Katavayim." How in the world can Apotropus do something like this in the Hefter? He's only authorized to do Mamonis. The Vaisai says, "The Ketzos, what was the original authorization to the Apotropus to do Mamonis? What's the model of Apotropus in the Chumash itself? What is his job? This whole shevet of land falls." You got this tremendous nachla called Nachla Shevet Naphtali, just fell to 50,000 people. What is the Nasi's job, Rabbi Say? What's he supposed to do?
Divide it
up. He's supposed to take, right now, what is this nachla? You got all these 50,000 Naphtalites standing there. You got this big chunk of Eretz Yisrael. What do we have? What is it right now? Before it's divided up, it's Mamun Hawa? Mamun HaShutzen. As long as you can twist the body, it's like the father died and left the Yerusha. So here, Ribon Shlom gave us his own Yerusha. And now we have to divide it up. So, well, how are you going to fight it? You got 50,000 guys fighting and screaming and kicking at each other? So let's do it to Kaseder. Put one guy in charge. He's the one who divides up the whole property. That's his job. And built into the system, is there going to be some Yisraelim there? That's 50,000 people. You got a couple of Yisraelim. So what does the Torah give the Apotropos the right to do? To split up Shutfus. That is the authorization of an Apotropos. An Apotropos has no koyach to change things. Apotropos has no koyach yesh miayim to do things. Apotropos has the koyach to divide up Yerusha on behalf of those people who can't, are not qualified to do it on their own because they're underage. That's what the guardian is. That's what the Apotropos' job is. Comes to Ketzos and says, the only reason why Chazal left the Apotropos to be mafresh to his maestras, because That is also Mamun HaShitzes. Of course, Taisin Sukhut HaFlamidei tells us that we view Tevel as being Mamun HaShitzes, but we don't know who owns what. Which apple, which chelik of the apple does the current lady own? We have no idea. So, point the Apotropos, give him a job, and say, follow the footsteps of the Apotropos, and we're going to see Hamidbar, and divide up the Chalukas HaShitzes properly. That and only that is the Koch of Apotropos Minotaur. You have to be concise to be learning a sugya and not an aleph in kedushin, and to figure out a chat that the answer to the dilemma of how an apotropos can be mapish b'nei Torah is based on a tzitzit musukah that gave you a new insight as to what tevel is all. Tevel is halacha kruv to mamon shittus, and there's really the other one that says this, but I'll tell you, that's what it says. So if I say four biurim, the Ramban's first biur, hefker based in hefker, the Ramban's second biur is achlash l'mafanav, the Rashi's biur yad. Apotropos get a violence, and the choice is that it's unique and limited to situations of Chumash Shutfis and Tevel of First Chumash Maisis, the part of the Parashah of Chumash Shutfis. Now we have four different viewers, now we have to test this viewer, we have to go to a lab. Do some experiments and see which Pshatim match up to different scenarios that Chazal described that Apotropos really works for. So you have a Sugyim Maseches Gittin. I said that on Mamakovich, right? And that Mem, and the Mana, so people schlepping the Mamakovich, getting the time, so I put on the Mamakovich, I sent it on the Mamakovich, so schlepping the Mamakovich, it's even better. Got the bottom of the Mamakovich, was it there? Okay. So Gemara tells a very, very strange story. It's four lines from the bottom. How Avda the Beit Rei? There was an Eved Kenai that belonged to two partners. Come chad minayu b'shachwe lepalge. One of the two partners freed his share, and he just created food for thought for the Mechas Chinuch, called the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin. Not for Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin, Mechas Chinuch wouldn't written the same. For every case, what do you do with Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin? So here we have a real life Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin. One owner freed his share. So now what do you do? So if you remember, in Maseches Gittin, in the Malach, actually, a little bit later on, the Mishnah tells us that a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chayrin is a disaster. That's the last thing you want to keep intact. Why? Because he has no shidduch prospects. He can't marry a bas chayrin. He can't marry a shivcha. Because he's half an ethic, but it's early this year. So he's mamish, he's in a pickle, he's stuck. So therefore, the Tanoim decided, and it actually took a little bit of time for the Tanoim to conclude this, Beis Shammai came up with this idea. And the Mishnah says eventually Beis Hillel conceded that Beis Shammai had the right answer, had this right solution. Beis Shammai came up with an idea and said, we cannot leave this in limbo. We can't leave the status quo because he can't marry anybody. So therefore, we're going to force his master to free the other half, turn him to a Ben Chayr, which makes him a regular gear, that he can marry a regular Bas Yisrael. And he has to write an IOU, he doesn't have any money now, so he has to write an IOU to the master, who'll be freed, he'll get a job, he'll make some money, and he'll pay back the master for whatever his half value was. So that's what the Mishnah concludes, not the Malach. Chazur Beis, still a risk to be Shabbat. So this other fellow, who still owns half of the Eved, he sees it coming. He knows Beis Din is going to be on his case. They're going to force him to free the seven. He sees exactly seven. He's not too happy about that. But he realizes he learned getting after the Malach. He knows that that's what's going to happen to him. So he come up with a great idea. What he thought was a great idea. He wanted to circumvent this Takanas Chacham of freeing him. He wanted to keep the Eved the way it was. So Amar. So the other man, the other guy said, Amar Idach. The other partner said, Hash Tashami Bei Rabbi. The Rabban are going to hear about what just happened. Umaslu Leninoi. They're going to make me lose my heaven. They're going to force me to free my heaven for a cheap IOU. Who knows if I'll get paid back. So what did he do? Ozo Akliye Libno Katan. He didn't do too much. He went ahead and he sold the heaven. He sold half the heaven to his child under the age of Bar Mitzvah. What was his spell? What do you think he was going to accomplish? That baby can't go up to the child. Child doesn't have the crush. He'll be shocked. He never even want to. So he figured he'll keep the Eved in the family for a few years. I don't know how old the child was. He's 5 years old. We'll keep the Eved for another 8 years. Until it turns by mitzvah. We'll figure out what to do by then. That was this guy's chop. So he really, really was so proud of himself. He figured he had worked a little bit of git and he had outsmarted the rabbanim. Sholcher Rav Yosef read the rabba l'kamei the rabbava. So when Rav Yosef read the rabba, heard about what happened, he sent the shadow to Rav Pofner. He said, how do we proceed now?
On the one hand, the guy is technically right. Once he sold to the Bnei Kotor, it's finished. It's history. We can't take it away from the Bnei Kotor. We can't even if we want. We have no mechanism to reshach with the event. On the other hand, this guy's a real, really cheating us, getting around what the halacha should be. Sholach leis. So Papa sent back the following message: Kaasher asa kein ye'aser lo gmulo yashiv lo b'roshon. That's the Purim story. Means what he tried to do. We're going to outsmart him. We're going to pay him back for what he did. Namely, we're going to deal with this fellow. What are we going to do? Anan is part of our proper answer. Anan kimlan b'yanuka. We all know that children, the mikveh daita legabe zuze. We know that they like money. They like coins. Some nice, glittery, shiny coins. But they do like this. Mokhbidu l'apetropos. We're going to appoint an apotropos to be in charge of the property of this child, even though the father's still alive, but we'd like to avoid this father right now. So we as Beis Din, we have the right authority to appoint an apotropos. And we're going to take some money, and we're going to hand over, we're going to shake around the money a little bit, and give it to the child. And we're going to get a shtar shichur to be written on behalf of this eved. That was the end of the story. Great idea, except we have no idea what just happened. Sounds like the question was better than the answer. Rav Yosef the Rav said, we are in a pickle, we're in a bond here, because he's a couple, there's no way for the shachar in eved. The Rav Papa said, no problem, two things. The Papa said, give me a bag full of money, number one, and number two, get me an apotropos, and shalom on Yisrael. What's going on? So most of the Rishonim learned, even though Rav Papa asked for two things, he wanted a bag of money and he wanted to have a apotropos, one was for halachic reasons, and one was just to quiet the child. Which was which? So the apotropos was for halachic reasons. The apotropos is going to be the one who's authorized to be shachar this eved. And why do we give you money to the kid? Because that looks like we're taking advantage of the children. The child's going to be screaming and throwing a temper tantrum. We don't want that. The rabbi took my habit away from me. So we give him a simple coins, and we buy some bubble gum and keep quiet. And we're going to force the apotropos, and we're going to appoint the apotropos, who in turn is going to listen to our demands, and he's going to free the eved. That's the way most of the Rishonim of Pshat is going. If that is the Pshat of the Gemara, then what's the Gemara saying? An apotropos has the koach to be a shachar of others that don't belong to him.
Is there a concept of appointing an apotropos even though the father's alive?
Pashtus there is. If the father's not behaving appropriately, I guess there is, right? Okay. A very modern application of apotropos. We're using an apotropos to pull off the stunt of a shachar. Now, shtash shichur is a very serious thing. Shachar was a din deraisa. Shtar Shichur changes the person's status. He used to be a Nebuchadnezzar, now he's a Nebuchadnezzar, now he can marry Master Shaw, he's been start from the Minyan, he's had mitzvahs, like regular men. There are real changes, there are Isa that are taking place. Condition of place, we have a half a dozen there are Isaac changes that are contingent upon a kosher Shtar Shichur. The ABCs of a Shtar Shichur is Yaakov. It's like, imagine, Reuben's going to divorce Shimon's wife. What's the Leitzonus? How could somebody be Shach or somebody else? Is that a Kenai? Mamash doesn't make any sense. Mamash doesn't make a zero bit of sense. There's a fellow in the Five Towns who has a shtar shichur that he bought from, it's like from like hundreds of years ago, from one of the Middle Eastern countries. Mamash has a real authentic shtar shichur. He wanted me to come and take a look at it in the South. I haven't gotten out there. Next time I get out to the Five Towns. It's interesting.
How does the king work? So
they have the father makhdas in the first place, and that's Hashem Dasacher Makhdas. So if I give him a ton to a child, so according to many Rishonim, he's coming in third.
That's the same problem with Lulav.
Right.
The problem is getting it
back. Right. The problem is right. It's the same type of idea, right. I gave it to him and I can't get it back. So I got a problem here. I got a big problem. Not my problem. Rishonim have a big problem with this. What is going on? So let's see if we can try to come up with a solution. Let's go through the shittas. According to the first opinion in the Rabbah, that apotropos has the koach to be mafish shuvus and ma'aser ben haTorah, not really, but there's a built-in takanas chachamim of hefker beis din hefker
that transfers ownership from the Yesodim to the upper Trump. It's a banana, it's called this fruit. So guess what? In that same fell swoop, same Moshe Beizin, they were Makir, the Eved, the Bialis of the Ktanim. They transferred that Bialis to the upper Trumpets, and everyone was right, he's Oshta Shikru on the Eved.
The Zuzim
is just to keep the kids quiet, right? Just the roots. Okay. We're 1 for 4. Let's go down to the Rishon. Let's go to the Rashba. What did the Rashba tell us? Rashba says, Tegzeres across the Yad, Akatrabas, Kiyad, Habayim, Dogi, Vinosi, Yecha, don't ask any captions. I had the puzzle with Bergini Mominus, Issim, Mimomin, Yafinu. It's all the same. Any shape or form, every mark of shoes, I can affect it as a tevel to the chidis of Nishavayim. So according to the Rashba, Nichlal, Tegzeres across the Epidot, can do anything on the Yad, the Kotz, and the Yad, the Yad, the Yad, the Yad, the Yad, and once again, the money is for ruins. But we're beginning to run into trouble once we enter into the Ramban Sechem Shah. According to Ramban Sechem Shah, the only koyach that Petropas has on behalf of the Kotlin is based on the principles of Zohar Shalafano. And if and when it's a Zohar, that's great. And if it's not a Zohar, then it's not going to work. And yes, your voice says, since when there's a great school for the person to take away his end? It's good for the Eved, but that's not for the kid. That's the problem. Wrong job for the wrong person.
Maybe that's why you're giving him the money? So it's not bad for him anymore?
So you mean, maybe the money is almost to create this whole picture. This will make it good for him. I mean, between you and me, is it really good for him? I don't know. It's a tough call. That's much. Give him a lot of money. I don't know. Maybe. That's an interesting idea. Maybe. Maybe the money is more than the roof. Maybe the money is to create the zochin. Maybe. Interesting. I didn't think of that. Maybe.
A zochin has to be a complete zochin. It can't be a...
Well, zochin is a tricky story. Zochin, there's what's called a zchus gomor, and there's what's called a zchus eno gomor. A zchus eno gomor depends on... If most people basically view this as a zchus, even though there is a certain detriment to it, that's also called a zochin. A zchus gomor has a little bit of a different halacha. It's even better than a regular zochin. So maybe this is to create a level.
Maybe it's with... The Tap Rashi talks about that.
I didn't want to talk about Rashi. Rashi has a whole different kind of thing. I'm asking to take this down the road. I don't know if it's the wrong road, but a different road. So, we were 2 for 4, but now we're not sure. We may have struck out and disturbed, we're not sure. But I'll tell you who's going to have a lot of trouble today. So, there's a lot of trouble today. Because it can be very creative and cool to frush us through the Mises and Tevel, Moment of Shifus. The Shutfus used to be. The other guy sold out of Shutfus. There's not Mama Shutfus anymore. There's only one owner in this Eved. And that's
he doesn't have one himself?
Unless you want to say an unbelievable shot that there's a Shutfus here between the Eved and the owner. But the problem is, we're not dividing up the Shutfus. Not like Tevel. By Tevel, I have an apple, and 95% of the apple I own, and 5% the Kohen owns. So the role of the Hafrasha is to separate who gets what. Here, we're not dividing up the Shutfus, we're buying out one of the partners. So I don't know if that's going to work according to itself. So I have a lot of problems with that. That's not the model of Chalukah's Eretz Yisrael, but I'm buying anybody out, we're giving the Shutfus. So look at that, it's happening. So with those Rishonim, with those Acharonim who have trouble with the Sugya, we have to change a little bit of our perspective with the sugya. We started out with the assumption, who's the Meshacher? We said, the Meshacher is who? Must be the Apotropos, because it's not Shia for the cup of the Meshacher. Well, we looked at that word of Rashi. Rashi explained, no. The cup is the Meshacher. The only problem is, the place says, since when does the cup have a cleft, the Meshacher have a cleft? So, I don't know the answer to that question. We're not really learning Gittin Daf Mem on the days right now. So, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. But all I know is that any Rishon who offered Biurim and Apotropos that don't fit the model of Antinani have got to change teams, go down Rashi's route, whatever the answer to Rashi's sheet is. So, again, this Gemara is a pivotal Gemara. And some Rishonim have a lot of trouble with this Gemara. Other Rishonim are much smoother in this Gemara. Are there any other Gemaras, any other Sugyas that shed some light on our discussion? So there's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. We sent to the Mavikomus. It's a Sugi Masechet Shabbos
on Daf Nun Dalal Amud Beis. Alright, came out. Daf Nun Dalal Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's great wealth. Those remember from the Sechas Brachas, the Gemara says one of the reasons why they were willing to appoint Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah the Nasi is because he was wealthy, and therefore he wouldn't have to, wouldn't be subject to any bribery, wouldn't have to, give any chanifa to anybody. He was able to hold his own, he was able to support himself. So the reason why the Gemara is in Shabbos, the whole place in the fifth breath of Shabbos is talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's wealth, because the Gemara is talking about a certain cow that the Mishnah says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow was walking outside on Shabbos with a certain thing on it, which is a question of carrying, and we were discussing, he had one cow, he had a thousand cows, whole discussion about the cattle industry under Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's ownership. So in the middle of this story, the Gemara has the following, that's been down on days. It's in the wide lines, so it's the end of the fourth of the wide lines. Vamarab, Vamarab, Ravuda, Marab, Tracer Alfe Egle, Have Ma'aser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Me'adre Koshosa Veshosa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would be Mafresh as Maise Behema, 12,000 calves a year. Do the math. If you're giving 12,000 calves, and that's 10%, it means you have 120,000 calves are born a year. That is quite the industry. That's pretty big. If I had that kind of cattle, I guess they'd put me as a Nasi also. That's a lot of money. So tell us about, sometimes you read this Gemara and think, wow, like the accountants are going wild with this one, the businessmen are going wild. So tell us about Akasha. Rabbi Natam had Akasha. This Kasha Rabbi Natam. You need to tell your Rabbi Natam to ask such a Kasha. Have Ma'asa Belaz Ben Azariah Koshasa Shasa Tosis. Listen to this Kasha. Hikshir Rabbi Natam. The other part of the Bechiris, the Ein Ma'aseh Behema Noeg Achva Chorben, B'nei Takol. The Mitzvah Ma'aseh Behema does not apply after the Chorben. Why is that? In theory, it should apply. There's a mitzvah to be mafresh a tenth of your animals and bring it as a korban. What we should have done is tell you to mafresh a tenth of your animals and then leave it till it gets a mum. Get some mum, then you're allowed to eat it. What's the mikdash? So we have that same model by Bechor. Bechor is also known as Manazel. We have a practice, the Gemara says, of selling the animal to a goy before it's born, get around Bechor. But in theory, Bechor is not a gift to the mikdash. It's just you can't bring it as a carpet. It's just born, has kedusha, and you wait it out till it gets a mum. So we should have had the same thing with Ma'aseh Behema. So the Gemara says that the Taron did away with that. Said it's not a good idea. Why? By Bechor, we have no choice. It's born by kedusha. By Ma'aseh Behema, just don't be mafresh. And it's a bad idea to be mafresh. It's a mitzvah to be mafresh. It's a tremendous takola. Because if you're going to be mafresh, then you have animals that are kodesh, that are karbanos, running around your backyard. You're not allowed to shech them, not allowed to work them, not allowed to shear them, you're not allowed to make them get them home. So many things can go wrong, it's better not be mafresh in the first place. So even though we'd love to fulfill this mitzvah ma'aseh behema, the ma'aseh, you have to basically make sure it's destroyed, so don't accept it again. It's not worth it. It's too much loss, very, very little gain. That's the Gemara on the end of the Sefer Zecharias. Imkein, sisters. Bizman habayi soy ma'aseh. It must be that the story about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah being mafresh by his name happened with Bancha Besa Mikdash HaYakayim. So that's understandable. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was in that generation of Tanoim who saw the Besa Mikdash. He lived partially before the Chorban, partially after the Chorban. He was from the Tanoim who lived during the Chorban. So obviously this story about all his major Maaser Behema enterprise that were going on must have been Bizman HaMikdash. So now Taisha says, how old was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Bizman HaMikdash? I have no idea. Rabbi Natam figured it out. Umistama ben Yud Gimel Shana Haya Kishi Iser. Mistama, he must have been bar mitzvah before the Chorban. Because what, he was 5 years old in Ma'aseh Behemas. So Mistama, he was bar mitzvah before the Chorban. Tosa says, now we have a problem. Vim Cain, Maika Omer Dahava Ma'aseh Koshosa Vishosa. The Gemara makes it sound like this was going on year by year. Every year for the last 20 years, he's been Ma'aseh Behemas. Says Rabbi Adam, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah could not have been very old at the time of the Chorban. He had to be over by mitzvah, but he couldn't have been much over by mitzvah. Why? The Alkorchach Lohei Bishas Chorban Abayis Achal Yosekim Ben Yedal Lot Hezvav. He was maybe 14 or 15 years old. at the time of the Churban. How in the world Tosfos didn't have his birth certificate? How in the world did Tosfos know how old Rav Lozman and Zai was b'shas Churban? He made a simple calculation. Rabbi Yochim and Zakai mashach nesiyusel achra Churban shanosh nesayim. The comment that Kana's tikkun achra Churban can establish Churban b'smikdash Rabbi Yochim and Zakai, etc. Rabbi Yochim and Zakai was the Nasi at the time of the Churban. That we know for a fact. And we know that he didn't die the day after the Churban. He was making takonas. He made a takona the first Rosh Hashanah after the Churban and the first Sukkot after the Churban. So he was around for about a year, at least a year after the Churban. We have no idea how old the Churban was. We know how old he was. We don't know how old he was, how many years after the Churban he lived. And we know that after Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai, who took over? The Yachar of Rabbi Gamliel Hayanasi. We know that also. Rabbi Gamliel was after Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai. And we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't take over to be Nasi until 2-3 years later. The Gemara tells a story about 1 year Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Well, 1 year Rabbi Gamliel got into an argument with Rabbi Shua about this and about that. Remember those famous stories in the fourth Baruch Brachas. So this is all taking up years. Ishtak etzar of the Ritzada, the Kalim lechem tzar of the Yeshua, after Chanas Amuados, uchshemidu Nasi haya ben Yerchesh. And we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18 years old when he was appointed Nasi. Kid Yamahosam, Hareni Kiven Shivim Shana, the famous Gemara Maseches Brachas. He was all of 18 years old. He grew a long white beard that night. And he looked like he was 70. He was all of 18 years old when he became the Nasi. If he was 18 when he became the Nasi, and there were already a few years that had to take into consideration for Rabbi Yochim ben Zakkai to finish up his time, and then Rabbi Gamliel to have his couple of years, maximum he was 14 by the Churban. Maximum 15 by the Churban. So what's the problem? If he was Hako Miko Kol, 14, 15 years by the Churban, and the story of Maisa Behema had to have happened when? Before the Churban, because the Gemara says after the Churban, they were Mevata Maisa Behema. So how many grandiose years was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah being Mafresh Maisa Behema? The Gemara makes it sound for 20 years he was being Mafresh Maisa Behema. Well, by who? He was 5 years old. The years don't match up. The chronology just doesn't match up. The years don't match. Rabbi Natama Bikoyach of putting together pieces and connecting pieces of a puzzle, not just in halacha, in chronology. But now he gets to the halachic problem. So what was going on with Elazar ben Azariah? When was he being mafresh this grandiose Maaseh Behema empire of his? Says Rabbi Natama, the Kaidim Gezer Rav Maisa. That takona, not to be mafresh after the Churban, wasn't instituted the day of the Churban. It was instituted years later. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the story of Rav Elazar ben Azariah's grandiose empire of animals was 20, 30, 40, 50 years after the Churban. Inami, says Tosfos. I'm not sure that's right, says Rabbi Natan. And here's why we're reading this Tosfos. Apotropos have a ma'aseh v'katanusai. Says Rabbi Tam Inami, that the story of Ma'aseh Behema of Elazar's enterprise happened pre-Churban, and he was tacha under Bar Mitzvah. He got this unbelievable Yerusha from his father Azariah, that a mind-boggling Yerusha of animals, and his apotropos was taking care of Ma'aseh Behema in his behalf. He was not yet anywhere near Bar Mitzvah. He was sitting in Cheder somewhere, sitting and learning in Matthias in fifth grade, and his apotropos was running the business. That was one Rabbi Natan solutions. What do you think about Rabbi Natan's solution? Is it correct?
Yeah, it's up, but it still buys you a few years. It still buys you only a few years.
Yeah, it's enough. It buys you 13 years. That's enough. So shata v'shata. Shata v'shata doesn't sound like 2 years. It sounds like at least a few years. So what a few years. Rabbi Say, we have to plug in Rabbi Natan's teretz. And ask all the Rishonim, all four Pshat, three Rishonim, one Achron, what they think about this teretz. Can an apotropos be mafresh Maaseh Behema Rabbi Yochanan? Does that work? L'chora, hafrashas Maaseh Behema requires violence. I'm going to go to your backyard, to your barn, and separate, start counting off your animals, 1, 2, 3, 10, and mafresh Maaseh Behema. We're sure going to mafresh, it's not mine. So what koyach, what authority did the apotropos have to be mafresh on behalf of Elazar ben Azariah? So go through the numbers, go through the shittas. According to the first beer in the Ramban, then everything is Hefka Bez and Hefka, we do whatever we want, we'll just transfer ownership from A to B. So the same way they transferred ownership for Truma, they transferred ownership for Shikra Vadim, and the same one fell swoop, they transferred ownership for Maaseh Behema.
according to the view that's based on the Rashi. Yada Petropis get a bailam that the din derais do whatever he pleases. Gavaldik, he can do whatever he pleases. Bain the moment is bain be isn't that. According to the Ramban, that's based on Zachlem Shlomachana is the grace of Schutz. According to the Ramban, the schus was to be mafish trumas and maizhus for the Yisrael. Why was that a gvaldik schus for them? Because if you don't, then they're eating treif. That's a pretty big, that's advantageous to them. Here, I'm taking, okay, it's true, they have a lot of animals. But I'm taking away 12,000 animals a year, it's hard to call that a big schus. So it's a big, so the 8-year-old kid has to worry about being yotzi a carbon, he's not chayim mitzvahs. He's screaming to take my animals away for him. I'll be my mitzvah. I'll worry about my kabbalists. What are you worrying about my kabbalists?
Give him some coins.
Give him a few coins. Trade him a few animals for some coins. But I don't know. Not so simple. Not so partial. If you go down the route of schos, not so simple. So what do we have here? So we have, this is starting to line up very similar to what? Very similar to the shikhr story. What about the ketzai? What the ketzai said? This is a tricky one. So the Tzoyis was the big believer in Shutfis, and he was willing to call Maiseris Shutfis. But don't get misled by that statement. There's a big difference between Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni, Tevel, Truma, that kind of Maiser, and Maiser Behe. What's the difference? Huge difference. What's the huge difference? In Mominus, what's the huge difference? If you don't give Maiser Rishon, say more accurately, if you don't sever Maaser Rishon, Tevel. So there's a status of ownership right here. If you don't separate Maaser Behema, is there anything wrong with using the rest of the animals? Absolutely nothing. It's not Tevel, Maaser Behema. Maaser Behema is a mitzvah. It's a pretty long phone, shake a lulav, very sharp. It's a mitzvah, Maaser Behema. You don't do it. So you lost the mitzvah. But does it impact on the remaining stuff? So who exactly owns the what? The Rebbeinu Shlom, the Mizbeach owns a share of my animals. There's a mitzvah afrosh, a mitzvah akrova. But if I don't do it, I'm not stealing from anybody. I'm not taking away anybody else's moment. So I'm going to shoot to see. So according to the Ketzais, that the only authority an apotropos has been a Torah is to divide up Yerusha. If you want to call afrosh as my Yerusha, the division of Yerusha, the division of Mamashukas. I'm sorry, Kenzai. To tell me that Maaser Behema is a division of Shutfis, there's no Shutfis in the Chlap. There's nothing in it. There's a Chodesh Agavra. It's not a Din Nechepza. Tevel is a Din Nechepza. Maaser Behema is a Nitzis Agavra. There's nothing about the Chepza. There's nothing wrong with 120,000 animals. Nobody owns it. And I owe it 120,000 animals. You as the person have a Nitzis Agavra. He's under the Mitzvah. He doesn't have a Mitzvah. So Chari, we're 2 for 4 here. See, it seems to be our batting average. Not bad. Most hitters would be very happy to hit 500. But we keep on bumping into trouble. With the Zachlan Shalvafana, we run into trouble. We run into trouble with the Tzaisis beer. So just as by Shikhar HaHodim, we had four back on another shot, Rashi's shot. Rashi changed the whole dynamics of the case. We have to fall back on Tzaisis first turrets. Get the years a little, you know, change the chronology a little bit. Or maybe Kushin Bekor Lesa. Maybe we had an entire, complete mistake mitchila v'yatzoyf in our analysis of this horrible Rav Elazar's story. Tosfos quotes Rabbi Elchanan Mefarish, "Have a ma'aser achar churban behemes arnuna lamelach." What did Gemara say? He used to give a tenth of his animals every year to who?
Taxman.
To the Roman treasury. Not to the Beis Hamikdash. There's no Jew Beis Hamikdash. Be Shem Beis Hamikdash. Who said Beis Hamikdash? Nobody ever said Beis Hamikdash. Nobody said a word about Beis Hamikdash. If that's the case, the story happened after the Churban. The Romans were controlled. They were taking all the animals of the Jews anyway. And the whole story is absolutely zero relevance to our discussion.
So we can breathe a sigh of relief. So the Ketzais and the Rash, or the Ketzais and the Ramban is still okay. Either the story happened post-Churban, or the story was taxes. It wasn't even Beis Hamikdash. It was only that one Hiflon Rabbeinu Tam, the Iname Rabbeinu Tam, who stuck into the story of Petropis. One out of the three Petropis and Tosfos had to be analyzed through the lens of the Sugya of Petropis Kach LaHafrish. Just as an aside, since the Kork related to Maaser Behema, There are some other Rishonim who have to learn that this Rabbeinu Elchanan's pshat for tactical reasons. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a what? He was a kohen. West of the Beferish and Brooks, he was a kohen. That was part of why they appointed him also. He had the Yichus, he was the descendant of Ezra. This Machlekes of Rishonim is a kohen even chayiv in Ma'aseh. So according to those Rishonim who say a kohen is even chayiv in Ma'aseh, obviously the story must have been pay tax. Now that sheet is a big, big chiddush. So that's Yochel in Rishonim. Why in the world should a kohen be part of Ma'aseh? As Machlekes have shown him, what happens with Ma'aseh Behemah? A mafresh Ma'aseh Behemah, and it goes coded as far as a korban, and then what? Is it a matan of the kohen? Is it given as a gift to the kohen at all? So in Ezra Kovin, we say, a b'chor nechal kohen, a ma'aseh l'chaladam. So, b'chor has a level of kedusha that's not allowed to be eaten by Sharon, not allowed to be eaten by Ezra. It has to be in Dafka Bechor. Ma'aseh l'chaladam means ma'aseh behemah can be eaten by anybody else, but it could be that's only if and when it was first given to the kohen. And the kohen talks about it's like Shmuel Achayim came and Rishis said, yeah, there's a lot of things that have a ton of the kohen don't have any kedusha to them. Some of the kohen don't have kedusha to them, and Zohar can't have, and other it's a pitcher of ben money. If I give 5 shekels to the kohen, he wants to buy me a gift without 5 shekels today. So it's you back. It's not mitzvah of kedusha. It's not clear. Machlokes Rishonim with the Ma'aseh Behemah is one of those matnas kahuna b'chlal, or is no shaykhas at all to matnas kahuna. So within those who show you say that the Ma'aseh Behemah is not a matnas kahuna b'chlal, never heard of such a thing. If it's not matnas kahuna b'chlal, then obviously a kohen is chayav. Why not? It's like putting on tefillah. Why should a kohen be bought there? But if you hold that Ma'aseh Behemah is basically a matnas kahuna, notwithstanding the fact that it's a hefty committed by Yisrael and afterwards, but it's a matnas kahuna. So what do we find about all the matnas kahunas that don't have kedushas kahuna attached to them? Such as Pidgin Aben, such as Yerol Chayim and Keva, Rishis Agez, Akohanim and Chayavim and those things? How can the Torah say that a kohen should give Pidgin Aben? Who's going to give it to himself? What should the kohen do with Yerol Chayim and Keva? Give it to himself. Those are mitzvahs that Yisrael has to give to the Kohan. But the Kohen himself doesn't. Trumas and Mitzvahs are different stories. Trumas and Mitzvahs have Issa Behetta connect to them, so that the Zechi of Tevel is Issa Tevel. So a Kohen has to be Mafresh Truma. Then what does he do with the Truma? What does he do with it? He gives it to himself. There's a feast on the Kohen. But Pidgin Aben, he doesn't even have to give the first place, because there's no Issa on the Chetzer anyway. It's just the Matnas Kahuna. So what, why in the world would one Kohen be Mafresh Matnas Kahuna if he gives it to another Kohen? It doesn't make any sense. So, those Rishonim who say that a Kohen is potter from Ma'aseh Behemah are probably the same group of Rishonim who hold that Ma'aseh Behemah is a matnas kahuna. It's a das yochel in Rishonim. And those Rishonim, anyway, could never ever learn that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was actually separating Ma'aseh Behemah. That would be inconceivable, because we know for a fact, documenting, my brachas, he was a Kohen. So the Rabbeinu Elchanan's pshat may be helpful for side reasons also, not just to get around the chronology of Rabbeinu Tam. So by seven, all the dust settles, we still have a 4 Biurim in the 3 in the Rishon, 1 in the Ketzos, about what the Koyach and Apichokos and Mamalach on the base of Kedushin is or is not. 4 different Biurim, and we test cased in those 4 Biurim against the Gemara and Gittin about the ability or lack of the Rishach of Hodim. Then we further test cased it against the Gemara Shabbos about Mafresh by Sebehema, and we came up with some of the Rishon, the same Rishon seemed to be good in both Gemaras. And the other Rishonim had to go search all that other routes, either Rashi and Shichur or Rechon is Pshat, the other Pshat is just in Ma'aseh Behemah. This Shita, the Shita of the Ketzos, that turned the world upside down from all the Rishonim, that the Ketzos is basic breakthrough in the Sugya is that the Koyach and Apotropos can never ever be extended out of Mamonis. And even with the Mamonis, it's very, very limited. It only applies in case of Chalutas or Shufis. It's because of this that the Ketzos refused to go down the route of the Shach. With the Shach, Lahaloch in Yerdei and Simin Shinhei, Yenuchas Pidin Aben, took the Koch of Apotropos and went flying with it. It said Apotropos could do things and wild things that nobody else could even dream of. And the Shach pinned most of what he said on the Rash, and he said, "Yeah, the Trumpets get a bile in the name of the Mammon, the Heter." There's a big deal in the Boskim about
there's a child in the community that doesn't have a Pidur Ben. We know that doesn't have a Pidur Ben. Father's not around, father's not a lawyer, father's not Jewish, father's not, whatever, he's not doing a Pidur Ben. Should we do a Pidur Ben for him or not? So everyone pimples his approach. So before not, should we do it, should not do it, can we do it, should we do it? A lot of things. The Shach and Sidon Shinhei writes, he thinks we could do it, and the best way to do it is to make a Beis Din, and the Beis Din should appoint an apotropos, and the apotropos should do it. Apotropos? What? Says the Shach, Yad apotropos, he had violence. It's like the cotton doing it. The cotton can be put, he can't be put himself until he's bar mitzvah, or he's allowed or whatever, so young. Let the apotropos do it on behalf of the cotton. Yad apotropos, he had violence. The Shach has that idea, and the Shach says, and you know where else we find such an idea? Very good, those people of sweetness, conceptual and Shach, and Super Safir Aleph, they get cotton or Bilos or Das Beis Din. Non Jewish child, you want to be Megayer him, versus no problem. Take up the basin, basin does it with the air. Zachin and Shalva Fanach. So Rishon, the lad, love Zachin, the bonnet, the Isaac, God, the Lord. Well, how does it work? So every Rishon accepts Kir Kotha, the Gemara, the Ferish, Kir Kotha, Bill Sodas, so Basin. And different Rishon have different ways of understanding the mechanics of how it works. So the Shach offers his Biur, he says it's based on the Rashma of Apotropos. The Basin acts as an Apotropos. They're not just Tabi Yochid doing the Zachir for Kotha, it's an Apotropos. And Apotropos can do everything and anything. And the Shach says, you want to know how we do Pidyon HaBen for Ketanim? Apotropos. And you want to know how we do Gemus for Ketanim? Apotropos. And you want to know how we're Mafresh Tumas and Maisa for Ketanim? The Shach would say, Apotropos. And you want to know how we're Mafresh Maisa Behemah for Ketanim? Apotropos. And you want to know how we're Meshachar Avodim? Apotropos. Everything is the same, because there's a cost for Apotropos, the Apotropos got a Vadbar. It's all just a restating of the same shit as the Rashi. And the Ketzoi says, because come here, the Shach, the whole premise of the Shach is not correct. Because the whole premise of the Koach of Apotropos to do anything was only found in two places in Halacha. It's only found in Chalukas Eretz Yisroel and Afrash Hashimus and Maizras. By Evi Kenani, it's not really true by the Shach, it's really the kid Birum Shach. In Maisim Hema, other Pshatim in the Rishon. So it was only in Inam in a Rebbeinu time. Says it twice, Apotropos can only do two things, and they're identical things. He can divide up the Mamon HaShifras, no more and no less. Again, Rabbi said, we started out with Kedushin Man Aleph, when the Gemara speaks about the inability of Apotropos to be Mafresh. We certainly went into the Beis, but the Gemara talks about sometimes the exception to that rule. We raised the problem, isn't it the term Shein HaShaloi? Four Biurim, three the Rishon, one the Ketzos. We tried to test case against the two Sugyas, the Sugya in about Shifra Avadim, the Sugya about Maisa Behema, and figure out which Rishon wind up with those sugars easier than others, and then you have this ongoing machloikas, which Tzoyis take it on the Shach, take it on the Rash, on the Shenim, about is there an all encompassing koyach with Apotropos, or is Apotropos very, very limited in scope? Only Chlukas HaShukas are things that are similar to that, but out of the Chlukas HaShukas, Apotropos has no koyach at all, and love with the Rash.